Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Tuesday. Hope you're all doing well, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Getting ready for the long dark of the off season. We are, what, less than 48 hours after the NFL is over, and man, I'm telling you, it's a tough one when you realize you ain't going to see football again for many, many months. It's a always tough. Hey, maybe I'll check out the UFL. I know there's always good stuff going on over there. But man, this is the dark time. And we're still a month away from free agency. We do have the combine in a couple weeks where we know all the coaches and GMs will talk about the fact that they can't talk about anything leading into free agency and the draft. And then the draft will get here and that'll be exciting. Although obviously this year the Packers and their fans have to wait a little bit. No first round pick. But, yeah, this is the time just waiting to kind of gear up the team-building season where, man, it's tough. It's a tough life. But I'm here. You're here. We're all Packers nerds. We're going to nerd out together. And today I just wanted to touch a little bit on the curious case of Rashawn Gary. Talking about team-building, talking about decisions that are going to have to be made prior to the start of free agency, most likely. Rashawn Gary, man, starts off the season, first half, like, you know, the seventh game, I believe, 7.5 sacks. You think, here we go, his first double-digit sack performance in a season for his entire career is on offer. Well on his way. Now, obviously, greatly benefiting from the presence of Micah Parsons, but not just because of that. He had a couple of sacks where he just flat-out beats guys, and you think, okay, we're going to have at least a few more of those down the second half of the, you know, seasonal stretch, and it all just disappears. And you go and you watch the tape and you think there wasn't a time where he just had, you know, a sack fall into his lap at least. No, nothing. No easy opportunities. And you look at the play even before Micah goes down, but then clearly after Micah goes down, you would have hoped he'd have stepped up. And maybe some of the tape that we saw where less than 100% effort from snap to whistle was on display at times, maybe that would be eliminated and suddenly we would find a compliment to Micah Parsons or a guy who was going full bore the way he always did prior to this season. Man, it's hard to watch. It's hard to watch as a guy who has been a pretty damn big Rashawn Gary fan. And the calling card that Rashawn had throughout most of his NFL tenure had been his effort, his ability to go from snap to whistle on every single down, game in and game out. It was disconcerting to see some of the plays where he certainly stopped giving full effort and prior to the blow of the whistle. And I know there are folks who point to some of Micah Parsons' comments locker cleanout day regarding effort and see a direct line to Rashawn Gary. I don't know. I guess only Micah can tell us for sure if that's exactly who he meant, but sure felt a little pointed in that regard. And it's hard to defend. It's really hard to defend when you see a lack of effort, when you see a guy shut it down mid play. Now you can say, well, Micah's going to get him or Micah's on the loose and already to the quarterback. And I understand that mentality. That's not the mentality we saw from Rashawn throughout most of his Green Bay tenure. And I really, really don't love the idea that the Packers might cut bait this offseason, which is certainly a possibility. But I also think there's a probability that they approach him about a restructure and probably a pay cut with the ability to earn some stuff back with incentives and the like. And who knows, maybe Rashawn would be down for that. In fact, I hope he is, because I think there's a chance for some redemption / reclamation, so to speak, at the beginning of 2026, given that Micah will most likely be out for about a month, most likely starting on PUP. You're going to need every bit you can get along the edge. But yeah, for a guy who down the second half of the season played fewer than half the snaps at times, should be raring to go, should have plenty of juice left in the legs, ready to go. Man, very disappointing season from Rashawn Gary. And I won't be surprised if they do end up just straight up moving on. I've seen some people talk about a potential June 1st cut. I don't think the Packers are going to operate that way. They don't traditionally. I think if they were to move on, they would just take their lumps immediately. But I do think there is a case to be made that you bring him back on a restructured contract simply because you are going to be down your premier pass rusher in Micah Parsons. And I understand trying to count on Baron Sorrell and company to try and boost your edge group while he's gone. And you certainly want to get them opportunities, young players that have certainly earned that look. But I don't know, surviving a 4-game stretch, maybe more, without Micah, I don't know if they can be casually tossing aside Rashawn Gary. Now, again, it is entirely possible they go that route. But more than anything, the people inside the building have got to have the conversation about what was put on tape in 2025 and what, you know, whatever the disappointment there is, what is the reason behind it? And can they get a better kind of output slash effort from Rashawn in 2026? And like you guys know, if you've been here for any length of time, I loved the Rashawn pick. I've loved him as a player, but it's hard to defend some of the stuff we saw in 2025 and say, oh yes, that's Packers football. That's what you want it to look like. Certainly that is not the case, or was not the case, the back half of 2025. So we'll see what Brian and company have in store in that regard. And we'll be talking about each and every, not only, you know, potential cap casualty here on Cheesehead TV, we'll also talk about the pending free agents that the Packers have to decide on. That'll be doing a video on that later in this week, which brings me to a programming note. Just a heads up, there will be no Packers Daily all next week. I'm going on vacation. I will be out of town. There will be content on the channel here throughout most of the week, some pre-recorded stuff and the like, but there will be no live Packers Daily. There will be no happy hour next week. However, there is a happy hour tonight. So if you're a Patreon member, a Carry the G Club member, make sure you look that information up on your respective pages. Because we'll be chopping it up here, happy hour for Cheesehead TV. What's going on, everybody? Good to see you. Before we get going, you guys know I got to give a shout out to our friends over at ThetaCare. When it comes to football season, it's all about action, and sometimes injuries happen. Whether it's a sprain, strain, or something more serious, ThetaCare Orthopedic Care is here to help you recover like a pro. Their team offers expert care for bones, joints, and muscles, so you can get back to doing what you love, on the field or in the stands. Don't let pain sideline you. ThetaCare, proud sponsor of Cheesehead TV. All right, folks, what do we got going on? We got Matt. Thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. Appreciate you. Not sure if it's possible, but do you think the Packers could tag Gary and trade him to try and get back in the first round like they did with Devontae? Woo! That feels like a lift, especially if teams are expecting a potential release. And I also don't love the idea of taking a tag for a guy who you probably are going to release and then having to carry that on your books and on your cap with the potential for a trade. Now, maybe there's some backdoor dealing. You get a deal kind of talked about and agreed upon probably at the combine and you go that route, but don't ever forget it. People always talk about, oh, tag this guy or tag that guy. And that's a great idea in theory, but you got to remember that comes along with the average of the top five salaries at that position group for the tag. Now, the official tag numbers aren't out yet, but I got to imagine at edge, it's going to be a significant price. I would be very surprised if they went that route. And you got to remember, Gary's not ending. He's not coming up on the end of his contract. You know, he's due to be a $28 million cap hit for the Packers next year. So no one's going to trade for that, you know, not after what he put on tape last season. So it feels like a more fantasy football than reality. Mike Witt, how you doing, man? Chris Canty's top five quarterbacks in the NFC: Stafford, Daniels, Darnold, Hurts, Caleb. No Love, no Goff, no Dak. LOL. I keep telling you guys, I don't know why you watch ESPN. That's why Cheesehead TV exists, so you don't have to. But, man, Chris Canty's been hating on Jordan Love since the moment he got in front of a microphone. So I'm not surprised. But, hey, man, that's his prerogative. It's paying his bills, and God bless him for that. What else we got here, folks? We got people defending or attacking Brian Gutekunst in here. I like it. Embrace debate, folks. Jared, what's up? Rather have Oliver, Sorrell, LVN get all snaps than do another season of what Gary did last year. Then again, usually good for the first four games. Well, that's the thing, too. There are certainly some young players that you would like to get more snaps, right? That you would like to see what they're capable of. But you don't want to do that at the expense of games, right? Like, you've got to be productive, not just rushing the passer, but also Gary played so much better against the run this year, down in and down out, than he has pretty much his entire career. And that's what I mean when you talk about, okay, if you just toss him aside, you're opening up a pretty significant hole in your rotation. And maybe Sorrell, Oliver, et cetera, come in there, but I don't love the idea of Oliver trying to take on the run. Like, he is a pretty clear pass rush specialist, right? So I think it just keeps you thin. And probably watching Kingsley and Igbari walk out the door as well. I don't know, man. That'll be tough. That'll be tough to kind of navigate if you just straight up, you know, move on from Rashawn, which again, I won't be surprised if they do, but they're going to have work to do if they go that route. Zapdog, what's up? How would you compare Gary to Eddie Lacy? Interesting. I don't know. With Eddie, it was pretty clear that the conditioning was off and he had let the kind of weight get out of control. And I think that was much more kind of conditioning / off the field stuff. Whereas with Rashawn, sure, looks like he's still in shape. There was no indication that there were injuries at play that we, you know, maybe didn't know about or what have you. Nothing's come out about that. Certainly wasn't on the injury report with any regularity. And yeah, I don't know, man. That's why it's so concerning from an effort standpoint, because that was almost always his calling card. So yeah, I don't know. That's the Eddie thing seemed a little bit more, I'm not going to say obvious, but it seemed more apparent. Let's say that. Guitar Ted. Is there a world where we get an actual punt / kick returner, or am I crazy? Well, you know, they could always throw Keyshawn Nixon back there to return kicks again. I know he didn't exactly light it up after the rules changed, but he's at least got some experience there, right? And I also don't hate the idea of continuing to run Savion Williams back there once he is healthy, which he should be at the start of the season. But yeah, punt returner to me is the key. And I talked about this a little bit on Daily last week. It seems like such a obvious, glaring omission from 2025 that they basically arrived at a point where they just went, Romeo, go back there, make sure you don't drop it, and get what you can. And just basically just abdicated the idea of punt return to a guy who'd never done it before and certainly didn't offer any kind of explosiveness or natural return ability. I don't know, man. It seems like we're here every offseason talking about, oh, here are all these potential returners in the draft, or options even in free agency, which the Packers did take last year with Mecole Hardman, only to cut him at the end of camp. It just doesn't feel like it's ever going to be a priority. You know, basically since they let Micah Hyde walk, they have not been serious about finding a punt returner. So it's tough, man. I'll be happy if they prove me wrong, but all evidence suggests that's the way they're going to continue to go. PG Bay B, what's up? Goody says special teams is great. Well, he said they were improved, and that is true. I know everyone just wants to hate on special teams, and we have talked about this a bit, but the return game is the main problem, right? Now, be really difficult to defend the missed kicks in the playoff game, but as he did point out, you know, McManus hit 32 in a row prior to that game, and the punter is pretty fantastic. Daniel Whelan is really good at his gig. Their coverage units have improved. They're much better in coverage than they had been. So there are areas where they're better. That's not a lie. That's not, you know, making shit up. But certainly there have been mistakes on teams. Protection units have been at fault. Missed kicks have been a problem. So that is where the frustration lies. But I get it's easy to make the joke, but he's not, again, he's not wrong that they have improved. You know, if you want to, you know, actually have context to this rather than just, you know, cheap points on the internet. But I know that's why we're all here. So whatever. Jim says they didn't keep McColl because they were too deep at wide receiver. They should find a DB who can return punts. Yeah, I mean, but then you get to the point where, okay, you're keeping someone or not keeping someone, you're letting him go because you're so, quote, deep at receiver. But then to what end as far as or just completely eliminating one aspect of the football game that you should be trying to take advantage of? And I don't disagree that, yeah, you would love to see if you could find a DB, much like Micah Hyde, who could be your returner. But since that was the area they went to or with, as far as Hardman goes, I don't understand why, okay, we will keep Hardman, and we've got these two rookies in Williams and Golden who we're not going to make big parts of our game plan. We know they're going to be, you know, basically begging for scraps as far as production goes. So make them inactive. I got no problem with, like, Savion Williams in street clothes if that means McColl Hardman can be returning punts. Now, this is all hindsight. I get that. But I just, yeah, I understand the idea that, yeah, they had a number of bodies at receiver. But, you know, how much production were you getting out of three of the kind of six or seven that you're keeping? That's what is frustrating to me. Like, at some point, don't you have to or shouldn't you be weighing the fact that we can either keep this guy and keep some of these young guys on you know, the shelf, so to speak, since we're basically redshirting them anyway, and then have some potential in our return game rather than, you know what, we'll just roll with Romeo Doubs and 3 yards in a cloud of dust every return. Yeah, that's the frustration. Mike Witt, what's up, man? Almost as important as Gary is what to do with number 25. He, in my opinion, should not be one of our starting cornerbacks in 2026, given his last half of season in 25. Just my opinion. I think he'll be in the rotation. I don't know. You can talk about starting off the bench, nickel, whatever. I think he'll be one of the top three corners in Green Bay in 2026. Now, where he's playing and how much, I think that remains to be seen, depending on the makeup of the roster as they head into camp. But I don't think anyone should be under any illusions that he's suddenly going to disappear from the rotation. That is most likely not going to happen. Now, maybe the draft falls a certain way, right? And maybe they add a couple of bodies to that room and those guys are lights out in camp, right? And suddenly there is kind of more of a rotation where the rookies, they want to get them on the field earlier because they're so clearly talented, etc. Maybe all that occurs, but that's a huge maybe, and that is very unlikely. And as Jim points out, the one thing that Keyshawn has going for him is that he's on a pretty cheap deal. I think he's, what, $5 million cap hit this year? You know, that's chump change for a starting corner in the league. So, I do think he'll be in the rotation. And that's about all, you know, you can really kind of set your watch by at this moment, depending on how the offseason goes and what that room looks like this summer. We'll see. Jacob, what's up? This is a good question. Was John Schneider a big deal when working for the Packers? I didn't know he used to be in Green Bay. That's because he was in Green Bay a very long time ago. He was with that group coming up under Ron in the early 90s. And was he a big deal? He was an ascending talent, that's for sure. You know, working with guys like Dorsey and McKenzie, obviously under Ron. He was with Scott McLuhan, that whole group. He, you know, was well-regarded. I wouldn't say he was a superstar, obvious, you got to get this guy at the time when he left to go, you know, be the GM in Seattle. But he was on the trajectory where you knew he was going to one day probably run his own shop. That's for sure. Much like John Eric Sullivan, who just got his job in Miami. You know, it's been a slow rise, but it was pretty clear he was going to get one of these gigs eventually. And that's where Schneider was back in the mid-90s, right, into the late 90s. So, yeah, he's been a point of pride for the Packers for a long time, simply because, you know, they knew, much like Elliott Wolf, you know, it was going to happen in time, but it wasn't going to happen while he was in Green Bay because Ron was entrenched, you know. And then he worked with Ted as well. You know, he's got a long history and he's been around for a long time and he's done really good work in Seattle. And I know some of you have probably read this week, but this is true that I think a lot of people didn't realize is that his original contract with the Seahawks had a stipulation and an out clause where the one job he could ever kind of leave the Seahawks for was the general manager job in Green Bay. That loophole closed when he signed the extension with Seattle. I think it was 2016, if I remember. That's off the top of my head. I might be wrong on the year, but they did, when he signed his last contract extension, they did close that loophole. But, you know, he, Green Bay kid, grew up there in the area, a lot of ties still to that area. So, yeah, he was definitely, you know, an up-and-comer in Green Bay, no doubt about it. Passport Man says, start Van Ness, he's ready. I got to think that's the plan. Even if Rashawn is back, I got to believe that Van Ness will be the guy who gets the majority of the snaps opposite Micah Parsons. Yeah, I agree with you that he is ready and he needs to be ready. And it really sucks how much time he had to miss because of injury. You know, he gets his first sack on the year and promptly essentially breaks his foot. Then he tries to come back, can only play six snaps, has to remain on the sideline for a couple more games. Would have been nice to get him out there, right? It's tough, but I agree, man. You know, at some point, you're the former 13th overall pick. You've been really rotating for the last 3 years. Yeah, it's time for you to be the guy, a starter, at least. Like, no question about it. What else we got here, folks? Puma, what's going on? Do you think Quay is gone? If so, is Hopper his replacement? I like the idea of Hopper and Cooper together. I'll tell you what, man. I talked about this a little bit with Billy today. I do like the idea of Hopper. I liked it a hell of a lot more coming out of training camp than I did after watching that Week 18 game in Minnesota. He was really swimming. And now it might be different once, if he is inserted as a starter opposite Cooper, has a full offseason in that role, et cetera. You know, there's a lot of kind of context or possibilities there. But, yeah, I think there's a decent chance that between him and McDuffie, those guys might rotate opposite Cooper, depending on the call situation, what have you. But some of that might be determined by Gannon coming in, what they want to do schematically, what he thinks of Hopper. But, yeah, I think that's the idea. The pipeline is kind of set up that way, right? He's a former third-round pick entering his third year. He better start playing, you know? But, again, that Minnesota game was rough. The tape off that game was tough. As much as some other guys really stepped kind of to the fore and took advantage of their opportunity in that game, Hopper was the one young guy who I thought maybe didn't hurt himself, but he certainly didn't help himself in that game. But you go back to the summer, he had a phenomenal training camp and I thought a really good preseason. So maybe it's a question of taking the totality of the work and they see a path forward for him in Gannon's defense. There's definitely a chance that that's the case. Is Bakhtiari the best O-lineman in Packers history? No, he's in the conversation for one of the best. No question about it, especially at his peak in his prime. But I encourage you to go to Packers.com/history, where Cliff Kristol has laid out plenty of fodder for you to dive into when it comes to the best of the best to ever don the green and gold or the navy and whatever back in the day. What else we got here, folks? Like Kingsley, but he's not a superstar. Yeah, he doesn't have to be, right? But he's going to get paid on the market if he hits free agency. I don't know that the Packers are going to be able to compete with whatever his services are going to get him on the open market. You know what I mean? Like, that's where it becomes tricky. Like, I would love the Packers to retain him, but yeah, it's tough to see Kingsley and his representation not wanting to get to free agency because they know they'll get paid. E4, what's up, man? From the outside, it seems that returning punts should not be that hard, but a lot of other teams seem to have the same problem. don't know what you're looking at. I think it looks extremely hard, and I didn't ever want to do it when I was playing football. And I'm sure you guys, if you guys played even Pop Warner, you can understand how like ridiculously difficult it is to sit back there knowing you could get lit up right after you catch the ball, and then trying to make headway upfield in a wash of humans looking to take your brains out. Yeah, no thanks for me. It's not easy. Let's say that. All right, folks, I got to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Like I said, don't forget happy hour tonight on Carry the G Club here on YouTube, and information is available on the Patreon page. I'll see you at the top of the hour. Everyone else, just hit like, hit subscribe, tell your friends and tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.